Psalm 107, in the middle of your book. Psalm 107. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the sacrifice of praise, what it is. Psalm 107, look at verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. I think right there, you know, there's the children back there in Sunday school are going to sing and they're going to praise God and they're going to have a great time. And it's a shame that grown men can't do the same. Grown men ought to praise God. God is very good to us. And I want to just talk to you about learning how to praise God this month. I heard a preacher one time say there are two great needs of modern Christianity. One is to read their Bible. And secondly, to praise God. We're bad-mouthed Christians is what we are. We don't know how to thank God. We don't know how to praise God. We know how to put on a show. But we don't know how to do it for real. We need to praise God. Today it almost has no meaning. When somebody says, I actually remember somebody saying, well, praise God. I said, okay, you first. What do you mean? But David repeats this phrase four times in 107 where he says in Psalm 107, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. God is good. God does good. And there are trials, there are afflictions, there are wrongs in our life, there are troubles in government, disasters in the economy. But did you know it is more important to praise than to complain? There is something marvelous that happens to every Christian when they live a life of praise towards God. But it's hard. It almost always is hard. Why? Because a praising attitude, a worshipful attitude, a right attitude about things in life doesn't come easy. We've been conditioned to think all is wrong. Children grow up and they talk about bullying, they talk about the problems with children, but you know, it really, really affects them. So much so that grown women hate themselves. Grown men only feel like men when they can drink themselves and still stand compared to other people because they hate what they are. They hate boredom. I noticed a thing over the last, I've been saved 32 years, and the worst attitude in men is boredom. They can't just sit still because they're bored. You know, that's really weird to me because they don't like life. They have to have some buzz. They have to have some drink, some drug, some excitement. They cannot just get a shovel. They cannot just build something. They cannot clean something. They can't fix something because they hate life. This day and age, we are only fault finders. Because to most people, including believers, life stinks. We've experienced so many wrongs in our lives. We've experienced disasters and even abuses that it's just plain hard to generally have a good attitude. Amen? We find it very hard to go out of our way and to praise God, to be thankful for the things in our life, no matter what they are. But know how we need to praise God anyway. Now, what does it mean to praise God? You know, the most basic meaning is to applaud Him. It's to give Him applause. I read a story about a singer who did a tremendous performance. And see if that'll come back up. Try it again. It's there. Give it a second. Who did that, huh? Yeah. We'll make it work. I read a story about a singer. I don't know. Lauden. This guy was a well-known singer back in the 40s or 50s, 1950s, and he had a packed-out crowd. He sang his heart out. It was like these Irish tenors. He just wowed everybody into a standing ovation. They just sat there and they went, thank you, that was wonderful, thank you. And he stopped and he went, wait. Let's thank the God who gave me the ability to sing. And they all were gobsmacked. They didn't know how to do that. We don't know how to applaud God. To praise God means to actually get excited about God, about what He's doing. It is when we honor and magnify just the goodness and the accomplishments of God. To praise God, I mean, we understand the idea of praising our children when they accomplish something. We understand the idea of praising, at least you should, your husband for hard work and for faithfulness. We understand the idea of praising your wife for her virtue and her hard work for your family. But what is it that stops us from looking up and saying, God, you're awesome? Praise is when we recognize God, when we give recognition to God. And finally, it is when we express warm approval and admiration of God. When people will stand and applaud the performance of a musician, I've watched people bolt out of their seats at a stadium because of the success of some athlete. I've watched when people shout with excitement at the graduation of their son or their daughter. We're praising, aren't we? Why don't we do it towards God? This month we're going to focus our attention on learning how to praise God more than we do. And learn how to do it better than we currently do. And believe me, praise won't be easy. That's why it's called the sacrifice of praise, by the way. Father, would you just open our hearts and convict our hearts? Lord, it is the challenge in this modern day where we are so inundated, we're so overwhelmed with the performances and with the abilities of humans. And yet we forget you. Lord, may we stop for a minute and reset and say, the one who deserves all praise, all honor, all glory is you. I pray, God, that you'd help us to have that right balance. Lord, that men would praise the Lord. May it start today in this room, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we read there in Hebrews 13, it says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Let's give this gift of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Well, what is this thing called the sacrifice of praise? Well, the first thing I want you to see is that praise is our gift to God. He says, let us offer. I need you to go to Psalm 54. You're in Psalm 106. Go back to the left, find Psalm 54 and verse 6. Psalm 54 and verse 6. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. Notice the words, I will. I will freely do this. God's not coming and grabbing us and saying, you will do that. He says, anybody want to? And here's David saying, I will. It is our gift to God. Now, when he talks about the word sacrifice, he's not talking about a sacrifice for sins. That was Jesus. He actually said, it is finished. The sacrifice for sin is completed, but the sacrifice of praise never stops. Praise is our gift to Him, and it's because of Him. It's because of Jesus Christ. For He is good, the Bible says. It is a free will, my free will gift to God, just because of who He is. thought is that God cannot command us to sacrifice our praise, or else it wouldn't be praise. In reality, this is our chance to give back to God something of great value. Some TV shows years ago used to have a man at the front of a live audience. And through the program, as they're filming it, the man would hold up a sign, they would say, applause. Hold up another sign and say, ooh. Hold up another sign and go, ah. Hold up another sign and go, yay. And so the crowd was conditioned to follow whatever the sign said. That's not how God works. It ought to be something that just comes from my heart. Praise does not need somebody to tell me to praise. I just need to be reminded, hey, He's worthy. It ought to be something that constantly flows from this mouth of mine. It is our chance to give God something of great value. When I do something of my own choice for Him, it means something to Him. Now, it means something to Him when we obey. Amen? But it means something more when we choose to do it just because we love Him. Isn't that how we like people to do things for us?
Well, here's what you wanted. I did it because you told me. You know, that'll go a little way.
But isn't it nice when somebody just does something for you spontaneously? Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Why should we praise God? I think there's some very good reasons why we should praise God. Now, I'm going to talk about this more next week because this is only going to get gooder. Why should we praise God? Well, let me tell you, if He didn't do any more than just save us, that's enough to praise God for all eternity. Because I didn't want to go to hell. Amen? I found out about a real, literal, burning hell, and I said, save me, please. Amen. And He did. Why should we praise God? Just because He saved us. Psalm 118:21 says, I will praise Thee, for Thou art become my salvation. Amen. You know, another reason why you ought to praise God is not just because of what He does, just because of who He is. He's your God. I like He's not just the God, but He's my God. David cries out in Psalm 118, just a few verses later, he says, Thou art my God, and I will praise Thee. You ever just sit there and go, I know Him. I know Him. Third reason why you ought to praise God, maybe, is because He made you. And that's a miracle. I know we ain't much to look at. But Psalm 139 says, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. That means no mistakes. You say, well, I got this spot here, and I'm balding up here, and I've got aching corns. And you're marvelously made. God made you. Do not let anybody define what is beautiful. Let God define what is beautiful. Amen. We were talking yesterday about what they used to put on, you know, the royalty and the aristocracy did not want to look like they were workers, and so they would put lye on their face. The women would put acid on their face to make their face white. So they would look beautiful. That was stupid. And yet it's no difference. Today, if you're black, they're constantly trying to make their skin whiter and whiter. If you're white, they try to make their skin darker and darker. Nobody's happy! Don't let anybody define what is beautiful. God made you beautiful already. You ought to just praise God. Look at that. I should have brought it. It's a comic strip in America called Calvin and Hobbes. And Calvin's only the 6-year-old boy. And he's in his underwear, okay? But he's standing in front of a mirror and he looks and he goes, made in the image of God. You got to hand it. That's good theology, amen? What's another reason why you ought to praise God? Because He's smart. He knows what He's doing. I mean, we don't have time. Next week we'll look at some of these verses a little bit more. But honestly, you ought to just praise Him because He is so wise. Fifthly, because when He makes a promise, He cannot break it. Amen? He cannot lie. I just love the fact that I can praise God for so many different things. And lastly of this list, I'm just going to stop here, but we could begin and probably never end. I have a couple of people I know who are doing what's called a 1,000 gifts of praise. And every day they're trying to come up with 30 things that they're thankful for every single day. So during a month they can come up with 1,000 things they're amazed at that God does in their life. 1,000 gifts of praise. That's an amazing challenge. And Psalm 72:18 says this, that He only doeth thou only doeth wondrous things. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. He can't do a wrong thing. He can't do a bad thing. Amen? He only does amazing things. There are some great things, great reasons why we should praise God. But to be honest, it will be often be a sacrifice to praise God even for those reasons. But if you do it of your own choice, it is of priceless value to Him. Praise, secondly, is a sacrifice by a believer. That's why it's called a sacrifice. Do you know there are three kinds of sacrifices in the Bible? The first one we regularly know about, it's called the sacrifice for sins against God. They would bring a lamb, an innocent lamb, the guilty party would lay their hand upon the head of that non-fighting, not resisting, that gentle lamb would lay his hands on the head of that lamb and confess, I should die, and yet thank you, God, for allowing this lamb to take my place so I can walk away forgiven. And that priest then would take that lamb from that guilty sinner and would take that lamb and would slay it, and the blood would pour out, and they would lay that lamb on the altar as a sacrifice for sin. There was a continual giving of the life of an innocent lamb in the place of sinners throughout the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, there was a one-time and final giving of the perfect life of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. So those were the sacrifices for sins against God. And there are no more sacrifices for sins. The second type of sacrifice are the sacrifices for commitment to God. They were referred to as burnt offerings, where you would take and you would take a sacrifice, not for sins, but they were sacrifices for commitment. They were to show, Lord, this is what I'm giving as a sign of commitment to You. A burnt offering. It was based on the level of commitment to a believer, maybe something small, maybe something big, but they were sacrifices for commitment. Then there was the third, and it was the sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving to God. And they're what's called wave offerings, where they would take their best item and they would wave it before God and go, thank You, God. Thank You. It would be maybe a harvest. It may have been your cattle. It would be like the dedication of a child. It was the best things that somebody had, and they would give them to God as a gift to Him because He had been so good to them. They would wave it before God and say, God, I love You and I thank You for all You have done. Here is something that means a lot to me and I give it back to You. That's what Hannah did with her son. She didn't burn him. She didn't sacrifice him. She gave him back to God, though. Your best attitude that you have in a day ought not to be wasted on your friends, ought not to be wasted on the telephone, ought not to be wasted at a pub or at a disco. Your best attitude ought to be given to God. That is our sacrifice of praise. Your best time, your best efforts, your best thoughts ought to be given as a sacrificial gift to God. Your best joys and thrills. You're still in Psalms. Look at Psalm 27. Psalm 27 and verse 6. David's in trouble. He's surrounded by enemies. In verse 6, he says, now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. I'm going to win. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of what? Joy. I'm going to sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Your best joys, your best thrill ought to be given back to God. But here's the reality. All right? Here's the wake-up call. These three sacrifices were never easy to give. That's why they were called sacrifices. They cost God's people to give such things to God. They were all necessary as part of the worship of God. But you know, without sacrifice, there could be no worship. You cannot come to God without a sacrifice. Did you know that? That's why I come in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't come in my own name. I don't come in the name of a church. I don't come in the name of a saint. I come in the name of Jesus Christ, the finished sacrifice. I can worship God because of a sacrifice that was made for me. No worship ever took place without sacrifice. David said this in 2 Samuel 24. He said, "Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." Because he was in a home, actually in a barn, of a man. And David said, "I need to sacrifice to God here." And the man, as good as he was, he said, "Here, you can have the whole barn. Here, you can have my cattle. Here's some wood. You can do, listen, take my stuff. Use it for your sacrifice." I mean, you and I go, "Cool, thanks." But David said, no, I have to pay for this. I have to sacrifice of my belongings so that this is a gift for me. I don't want to give something from you. I want to give something just for me. You see, praise rarely will be easy to do. It will take it'll always be much easier to find fault. Amen? To always complain. You will find it easy to murmur and to begrudge someone. We will even easily give people a piece of our mind. I mean, it's like, how can you have any mind left after that? Because all you're doing is giving people a piece of your mind. We will ultimately find ourselves easily giving out to God and withholding praise that He deserves. That's a cold Christian. I believe it takes a whole lot more effort, hold on, stand there, to find a way to praise God when we don't know why something is happening to us. It takes a whole lot more effort. Third thing. In Hebrews 13:15, it has two words at the very beginning, if you remember. By Him let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Let us therefore offer the sacrifice of praise. Did you know you'll only be able to praise God by Him? You'll make a sacrifice, not by your own strength, not by your own money, not by your own abilities, but by using His strength. By according to His sacrifice. I want to show you what I mean here. You do it His way. All the sacrifices of the Old Testament, especially the lamb sacrifice, were shadows of the perfect sacrifice that the Lamb of God would make one day. Amen? All the Old Testament sacrifices were pointing to Jesus Christ, weren't they? From the time that Adam and Eve sinned and God said, "In the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely" what? And when they did disobey God and they got found out and they're standing there and they're trembling and they're afraid we're going to die, out came two lambs. And God said, "I'm going to kill them instead of you." And they watched grace pour out God's wrath on an innocent for the guilty. And those lambs pointed to one day where the Lamb of God would come and be sacrificed to take away the sins of the world. Every Old Testament sacrifice was valid only because of a coming sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Everything in the Old Testament, actually, how many of you know what an IOU is? I used them when I was a kid, you know, I didn't have any money, so we used IOUs. It was better than Monopoly money. And you'd say, you'd borrow something from a friend, and you'd get a little piece of paper and say, "I owe you 25 cents. Sign, Craig." And then that person would be able to show you and says, "You owe me." "Oh, yeah, I do." And every one of those sacrifices, by the millions, every one of them were IOUs. They could never take away sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? All of them were a continual buildup of debt. Now the bearer of that sacrifice, bringing the sacrifice, walked away forgiven, but not because the sacrifice of the lambs or the bulls or the goats or anything, not because the sacrifice took away sins, but because one day Jesus Christ would come and pay off all of those IOUs. And He did. So that shadow in the Old Testament, fulfilled in Jesus Christ, defines that my sacrifice needs to be in the same way matching His. I can't make a new sacrifice. I'm just pointing and saying, because of Him, by His name, by His power, I can sacrifice praise. You see, that cross enables me to praise God. By Him, by His never-ending life now, I can offer sacrifice. And God says, ooh, that's good. I mean, when was it ever I did anything good? And yet, because by Him, I can, by means of Him, by His name, by His strength, by His power, I can offer the sacrifice of praise. Too many people want to try and impress God. Watch me, God, watch me. I can really wave. He's not impressed. Oh, God, I can really sing. That doesn't thrill Him. What thrills Him is when you do something by Jesus Christ. When you do it because of Him. When you do it like He did. So using Jesus Christ, using Him as your role model, just using His name, leaning upon His power, let us offer the gift of our praise to God. Not praise Him like anyone else. You know the danger in most churches? Everybody's trying to be like everybody else. I watched a nice little YouTube of a new person standing in a charismatic church. And so everybody's up there waving, and this new guy's standing there. And so he's watching everybody wave, so he raises his hand. And he starts wiggling. And he's doing that. He has no idea what he's doing, but he's trying to be like everybody else. Can I tell you, that's not praise. That's copycats. That's imitations. The praise doesn't begin with the waving. The praise doesn't begin with the performance and the band and the lights and the ambiance. Praise begins from the heart through the lips. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Like Jesus did. He never waved, by the way. He never wiggled. It's empowered by God. Third thought. The sacrifice of praise is something we say. Out loud. Where do you use words to praise God? Look at Psalm 109, verse 30. I wonder why I'm looking mainly in Psalms. Anybody figuring it out? Psalms is the book of praise. Psalm 109 in verse 30. Psalm 109 in verse 30. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise Him among the multitude. Hey, we need some Christians who will come out of the closet and praise God in public. Amen. Now, you're in training. Here you are in church, and you've got a hymnal there, and that's a way to learn how to praise God. I read it. You ever hear of a guy named Charles Wesley? 3 days after he got saved, Charles Wesley, the brother of John Wesley, Charles Wesley, when he got saved, 3 days after he got saved, he wrote a hymn. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing of my Redeemer. He wrote, Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. All glory, Lord, and majesty. Dun, da, 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 da. I don't remember. I'm going a blank here for a second, but follow me. 3 days after he got saved, he started praising God. He wrote it down. He wrote 6,500 hymns in his lifetime. Charles Wesley, we probably got 100 of them in here. Use words to praise God. You ought to learn how to not just think it, but say it. What am I talking about? Say something like, praise God. Praise the Lord. I mean, freak people out at work. Amen? Just say, thank the Lord. Huh? Why? Because He's good. Amen. It is, you know what's most normal? I can't even publish what most is in most normal mouths. Amen. It just would be stars and hashes and pounds and things like that. Because that's how people talk. Christians should praise God. praise it among the multitudes. You ought to just say, I'm just glad God's my Savior. Amen. You know, there's some fun things you can do. I've always said the most fun you can have is free. You ought to stand in an elevator with a toolbox. When the door opens and people are coming in, say, hope it works this time. You know, what you say can have a great impact on people. How about this? You don't look so well. You okay? Man, when you came in, I got worried. What you say affects people, doesn't it? You just need three or four people to say that to him and he'll be on his way home. Amen? Why don't we use the fruit of our lips for good? Why don't we remind people God is good? Why don't we just praise God? I think people ought to think we're weird on purpose. I really do. It is called, in Hebrews 13:15, it says, it's the fruit of our lips. And that means the results of what we say. Can I be real plain? Do the results of what you say, bless God? That's a scary thing. That is a scary thing. Do you know murmuring and complaining does not bless God? You say, oh man, I have a right to murmur and complain. I don't believe you do if you're saved. I don't believe you do. As a matter of fact, I've got Bible for it. I found some people in the Old Testament and all they did was they murmur. You know what murmuring is? You can't even know what they're saying. The children of Israel were murmuring in their tents. They were behind closed doors. And God says, I'm killing them. Amen. You say, well, I'm not hurting anybody. You're hurting him. I believe it frustrates God to no end when we use our mouth to gripe and complain. Is there stuff to complain about? Yes. But we ought to praise God anyway. How about the arguing, the fighting? Does that bless God? You know what the Bible says? The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. 2 Timothy 2:14 says, do not debate about words and things that will bring to no profit. What a waste of our time. I'm sitting there, there's a kid, he's about 8 years old, sat down at a public piano, it was on wimp.com, you ought to see it there. This kid comes to a public piano, he just sat down and started playing a magical performance. Some classical piece. He's 9 years old. You know why he was able to do that? Because he wasn't wasting his time while playing video games. You know, if we spent more of our time praising God than complaining, it's just like that kid spending more time playing a piano instead of playing on a video game or sitting in front of a television 8 hours a day. Can you see that if you put your efforts to something that's good, how far you can go? Is not the fruit of our lips to be good? If we would use our lips and confine our lips to good, how far will we go? Something's got to die in the process, though. With every sacrifice, something dies. I didn't get anybody there. If you're going to offer the sacrifice of praise, you're going to have to first dump what naturally comes out of your mouth. Why? Because there's something wrong with our mouth. Go to Romans chapter 3, please. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, in verse 10, you should know this verse. As it is written, there is none, what? Righteous. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Verse 12, Romans 3:12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Watch this. Their throat is an open sepulcher. It's an open grave. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps, which is a deadly snake, is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing. And what's the next one? Well, I don't curse, but you're bitter. The mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in their ways, in the way of peace. have they not known? Something's wrong with our mouths, amen? Does that describe what's... hold on there. Does that describe your mouth? Your way of talking? You know, people worry about their diets, what they put in their mouths. I mean, they'll pick up something and they'll read the ingredients and go, nope, that's got aspartame in it. They'll pick up something else that's got, wow, it's got 50% sugar. They'll put it down. They worry about what goes in the mouth when the Bible says worry about what comes out. Isn't that funny? Now, you ought to be concerned about what goes in the mouth because it does stick. But something's got to die. We have to get rid of our old way of talking first. I'll show you in just a minute. It means crucifying your old speaking habits. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 3, right after Hebrews. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 says this. 10 to 14. For he that will love life. Anybody enjoying life? Or you want to enjoy life? Here we go. 1 Peter 3:10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Huh. You know, it means no more flippant use of your words. Like people say, God. Oh, God. God. You go, what are you doing? Oh, I'm respectfully saying his name. People say, holy blank. You know, you just don't use your mouth for evil anymore. No more lying. No more deceit. No more hypocrisy. Go to James 1. Go back to the left a few chapters, few pages. James chapter 1, verse 26. James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, thinking he's doing nothing wrong, this man's religion is vain. If your mouth and your tongue is not being transformed by your relationship with Jesus Christ, then your Christianity is worthless. Amen. Ephesians 4 now. Go back to the left, find Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 29. I'll read it like we want our Bible to read. Ephesians 4:29. Let very little corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's what we wanted to read. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying, blessing, encouraging, building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearer, no matter who they are. You know, corrupt, think of the word politician with that word, will you? Let no corrupt words, let nothing that would ruin or hurt someone else come out of your mouth. You know what a corrupt politician is doing? Thinking of only of themselves, only hurting others, taking advantage of others. Is that not our words? No corrupt communication. Let nothing corrupt, rotten, evil, sinful, obscene, filthy come out of your mouth. Ever. Ephesians 5:4. Look at chapter 5 and verse 4. Just a few verses down. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking. You can't even jest. But there's a reason. I'll talk about it in a second. Which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Foolish talking is talking like an unsaved person. A fool is an unsaved person. If you talk like a fool, then you better not claim to be a Christian. Amen. But that jesting is when you make light of serious things. Like when people make fun of heaven and hell. They make fun of the second coming of Jesus Christ. They make fun of Noah and Sodom. And they, well, it's just a lifestyle. You say, call yourself a Christian? Foolish jesting. Standing around with the buddies at college or at school, and everybody's laughing and joking about pictures and about things that are going on. Shouldn't even be talked about, and you're laughing with them. Foolish jesting. Don't ever, ever, ever allow yourself to be caught up in that stuff. Crucify it. With God's help, we need to learn to tame, bridle, bind your tongue, and especially your heart, so that you can actually offer praise to God. Look at James 3, and I'll show you how this thing builds. James chapter 3 and verse 7. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is what? What does it mean to tame? Brought under control. I've seen people ride on the backs of killer whales. I've seen people conquer the highest mountains. It's just amazing what man can accomplish and what man can tame. Keep going. I gotta find out where I left off. Verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly, out of control evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith with the same tongue curse we men, which are made after the similitude God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. People try to bless and to praise God and then turn around and use the same tongue to curse and destroy people. You can't believe you're actually praising God if you're blaming, cursing, denigrating, or bad-mouthing anybody else. It doesn't work. If you're a born-again child of God, this cannot, should not happen. It doesn't happen in nature. It ought not to happen to us. Keep going there in verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge? Anybody smart enough among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Don't deceive yourself. Do you know, you know what Bible believers do? There's a great verse in 2 Thessalonians. It says, study to be quiet. You know what that means? Learn how to shut up. Amen. We work real hard at not saying everything that's in our heart. We learn that everything that comes up to our mind that we want to say shouldn't be said. We study to be quiet. Because I want to dump my old habit so that I can learn a new habit, which is praise, which is thankfulness, which is being a blessing and edifying others. Christians shouldn't go shooting off their mouth about things. Should never gossip, should never tear people down. Instead, we ought to thank God. They say it was hard to thank God. That's why it's a sacrifice. We should edify and bless and build up and help people by our words. It is something we say after we crucified something. Praise is a continual thing. It's a continual gift. It's supposed to be all the time. It really is no good if it's spotty. Hebrews 13:15, it says this. Let's see if we can remember it. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. What's the next word? Continually. How does that mean? All the time. Keep going. Not just on Sundays for a small while or when you feel like it. Oh, I just feel like praising God. Well, good. Go ahead. But when you don't feel like it, do it again. That's why you put the word continually in there. It's too easy to do something just for a little while and then forget about it. That's why we have church on Sunday night. So that it's continual. That's why we get back on Wednesday night. So that we get back in motion, we make sure we're doing something continually. David said, go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, what a great verse. Psalm 30, verse 1, 34, verse 1. You might be able to remember, we had this as a memory verse several years ago. Watch it. I will bless the Lord at all times. That's the good times. That's the bad times. Those are the easy times. The rough times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know, if praise is continually in your mouth, there's no room for griping. Amen. When should praise be in our mouth? At all times. That's in the great times. It's in the alone times. In the night seasons and in the daytime. I mean, fill in the rest and realize, you know, all the time, praise. Somehow, ought to thank God, praise God, applaud God. Psalm 145. Go to the right, Psalm 145. You know what's great about the book of Psalms? It teaches us how to praise. And it doesn't mean you can praise God always with a smile. Sometimes you praise God with a lot of tears. Sometimes you praise God when you're afraid. Sometimes you praise God when you're mad. It's a lot better than killing somebody, amen? Praise God, and Psalms teaches you that. It's not all happy-go-lucky, all flying around, oh, I'm a butterfly. That's not praising God. That's LSD. Psalm 145, verse 2 says this, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. That's a good verse. You ought to put that down. You ought to get you a memory card, one of these note cards there, and write these verses down and say, yep, I need to remember that one. I need to constantly, every day, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Pull it out there and remind yourself. Psalm 146 and verse 2. I like this one. While I live, will I praise the Lord. You know, when you get to heaven, it's going to be easy to praise God. Amen? I mean, you'll look at streets of gold and go, wow, praise God. Amen? You'll see your mansion there. Well, maybe it's on a mountain. I don't know. You'll see your mansion and you go, wow, praise God. You'll meet people that you haven't seen in years who got to heaven before you, and you'll be angry at them for a little bit, but you're glad to see them, and you're because they got there ahead of you. And you're there and you're hugging and you go, praise God, we're together again. Everything in heaven will cause you to praise God. But David says, I'm going to praise God now because it honors and blesses him more. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I'll even sing. Real praise is a worship gift. This is our last point. Real praise, when it is a sacrifice, is a worship gift. In other words, we're not really worshiping if we don't know how to praise God, if we're not praising Him. A lot of people think, and we have this on our quiz in the discipleship, what do we come to church for? It asks three things. For worship, for preaching, and what was the third one? Do you remember what was the third question there? I forget. No. Help me out. For worship, for preaching, what's the third reason why people come to church? Praying or something like that. And do you know why we come to church? It's not for worship. They think that they're worshiping God by being in church. Let me tell you, you're not. We came to church for preaching. The main focus is not worship. The main focus of getting together as an assembly is to motivate us to live for God. Your worship out there, when it's hard, when it's a sacrifice. It's easy to praise God here. It's easier. And so, if you don't know how to praise God, if you haven't learned how to praise God, you've never worshipped God. The temple in the Old Testament was filled with praises and singing so that worship could go on. And when we worship God, we need to do it with applause, with thankfulness, just for who God is. And I'm here to remind you of that so that you can praise God all week long. So many come to church and they sit in their chair and they never even try and praise God. Now, I'm not talking about coming and swaying and raising hands. Nothing wrong with raising a hand and praising God. But the problem is people are attracting attention to themselves instead of worshiping God. And they're expecting the music to motivate them. You don't need no music to praise God. You don't need a worship team up to motivate you to praise God. Okay, let's all close our eyes. Okay, let's all lift our hands. Okay, now. Just repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I love Thee. Dear Jesus, I love Thee. Dear Jesus, you're hypnotized, is what you are. Why can't you tell Him that on your own? Why do you have to wait for somebody to hypnotize you before you do it? Let me tell you, because you're immature. Oh, did I not get an amen out of that? You come and you never even try to praise God. We picked up that hymnal, we started to sing, and I heard half of you trying, half out. I mean, this place ought to just, these things ought to be swaying, not you. Because of our volume. Amen. Because of our praise to God. People will come in church and they are bitter, they're frustrated, they're cold, and they're hard. And nothing's going to warm them until they decide to go ahead and praise the Lord whom they say they worship. You know, it'll break your face if you cracked a smile. He said, you know, it's good to be around the brethren. Thank you, Lord, for my church. Thank you, Lord, for my preacher making me feel mad. Amen. If you really want to worship God, then you need to dump how you're feeling. Your feeling is real. Your feeling is because of good reason. But praise takes precedent. It is more important. Dump how what you feel like saying and offer to God the praises that ought to be said. Job taught us how to worship, didn't he? The Lord has given. The Lord has taken away. Watch him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's a good example of how to praise God. Go to Psalm 33. You know what God looks at? God looks at the heart, doesn't he? Now, I only see your outside. That's why I want you to dress right. Amen. Ladies, I don't need to see everything you're advertising. God doesn't look at what you're advertising. God doesn't look at what you're showing off. God doesn't look at your face, ladies. I mean, how many hours you put into it doesn't matter to God at all. Men, the hair just right. You know, everything all perfect. Let me just tell you, God looks at the heart. What does He look for in the heart? Watch what it says. Watch what it says. Psalm 33 and verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely. That's an old word. We'd say something is very becoming. It means it's very beautiful. Praise is comely for the upright. It's beautiful to God. It's attractive to God. You know what attracts a guy to a girl? I know what attracts most people today. But you know what really attracts a guy? A smile. Joy. Same with God. He wonders, is there any joy in there? Amen. Praise is beautiful to God. Next week, I'm going to actually show you how to praise God. Week after that, we're going to build an altar. Because we need this. If we're going to wrap this up, I just say, in these words that David said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. There is something marvelous that will happen to you if you'll learn how to praise God. That doesn't mean that you learn how to be happy. I'm not telling you to be happy. Uh-huh. Did you notice? I bet you thought that, oh, He wants me to be happy. I'm not going to be happy. Don't even push me. I didn't say that. Praise doesn't come out of happiness. Praise comes out of a heart that says, God, you deserve praise even in this mess. Oh, how we need to praise God. Just what is? Anybody remember? What is the sacrifice of praise? Never forget this. Toward God. You ought to go stand on some. You ought to go to the V out in Waterford and look at the three counties they're mixed. And that hillside there, we drove up there. And all of the beauty of the valleys there at the drive called the V, or go to the Gap of Dunloe and just stand there and just go, woo! Praise God! Look at this! You're great! That's praise. That is, you say, people laugh at you. It's a sacrifice. But it's a free will gift. I want to give it to God. I want to do something. You know, I've got nothing that God needs. Huh? But I got something He wants. Amen? What do you get for somebody who has everything? Appreciation. Praise. Gratefulness. Honor. Exalting. Magnifying. By my own choice. It is a sacrifice. A sacrifice, praise, is a costly effort. And I will give Him my best, not my leftovers. You come to my house, what does my wife do? She worries. She goes, oh, I'll give Craig the leftovers. And oh, I got to fix you a fried chicken and mashed potatoes, John, and this and that. And John's worthy of it, but I'm over here eating the leftovers. And I'm glad to take it because we want to honor somebody. Amen? That's exactly what happens all the time. I always, Hey, you know what? God deserves the best. You take the leftovers for a while. Amen? It's a sacrifice. It's empowered by God. Your little effort of praise, all of a sudden, reaches to heaven. All of a sudden, is awesome to God. It is empowered by His presence and by His sacrifice. The sacrifice of praise is something we say. Do you ever use your mouth to honor and glorify God? Ought to be a lot, shouldn't it? Something's got to die in the process. What's got to die in the process? My old habits, my old way of talking. I've got to bridle my tongue. I've got to bridle the things that I would say so that I can say what I ought to say. Praise is a continuous gift. It's not something you do now. Say, oh, I want to go try it. And then on Monday, forget all about it. And when it is a sacrifice, it is part, finally, of worship. I think that's awesome. I think it's awesome that we can bless the Lord at all times. And it becomes worship. I don't think we're doing a great job at praising God, do you? I think we barely just show up in our Christian life. Let's begin to learn how to truly worship God. And it begins with a soft, broken heart about our own sinfulness. You know what stops me from praising God? Me. I wonder if there's anyone who would readily admit that they are away from God. That they're hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That they've been tricked and they believe the lie and they followed a trail down and they realize how far away they are from God. And they just don't feel like it's ever going to work again. They feel like it's gone. The joy's gone. The thrill's gone. The Christian life is dead to them. You know, just admitting you've gone that far is the first step to actually getting back. Maybe someone needs to admit that they've been hardened and they need to ask God to break their heart, to humble them. Maybe someone needs to admit they've never been born again, the Bible way. Or what the Bible calls repenting. Being extremely sorry for your sins. And you know you're a sinner. You can just listen to yourself. You need to go, you know what? I've never praised God once. I've gone along with emotions. I've been in church. I've said all the things that everybody else said, but it never came from my heart. I don't have anything in my heart that tells me to praise. You need to be born again. Because God will put something in there. He's called the Holy Spirit. Can we stand and let's pray?